Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits, and their names were Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. And so begins the beloved children's story, The Tale of Peter Rabbit. Wonderful viewers, welcome to Models of Success. Today we will wander about in the nature-loving, magical world of author Beatrix Potter, creator of Peter Rabbit and Friends, inviting readers into a land filled with hard-working porcupines, tailoring mice, naughty squirrels, and tea-drinking frogs. Beatrix Potter is the illustrious British author whose children's books have been cherished by millions worldwide over the past 100 years. On July the 28th, 1866, Helen Beatrix Potter was born in South Kensington of London, England. Her parents, Rupert and Helen, called her Beatrix or Bee. Having inherited Lancaster cotton fortunes, the Potter household was able to lead quite a comfortable lifestyle. Typical to Victorian times, Beatrix was cared for and educated by a series of governesses, only seeing her parents at bedtime and on special occasions. When her younger brother and best friend, Bertram, was sent off to boarding school, she spent many hours in the nursery all alone. That is, except for the menagerie of little creatures she and Bertram had taken in. Supreme Master Television had the opportunity to speak with Judy Taylor, Beatrix Potter's biographer.
She was surrounded by hedgerows and fields in which there were wild animals. And she was very interested in flowers, animals, and nature generally. She and her brother kept pets. They kept rabbits, bats, hedgehog, mice, and they drew from nature.
Little Miss Potter carefully copied their anatomy from every angle. At the age of 9, she had already started creating her characteristic drawings of costumed animals when she fashionably dressed ice skating rabbits in Victorian vogue. She also discovered her pets' peculiar personalities and described them in a journal written in secret code. Designed to keep from her mother's eyes, the code, whose script was so tiny it had to be read with a magnifying glass, would not be solved until 1958, 15 years after Beatrix's passing. The mischievous behaviour of her rabbits Benjamin Bounce and Peter Piper would serve to be the inspiration for Beatrix's stories, The Tale of Benjamin Bunny and The Tale of Peter Rabbit.
She was a very fine watercolourist. Before she did her book, she painted all the time. She went to the South Kensington Museum, which today is the Victoria and Albert Museum, and she copied pictures there.
The most invigorating time of the year for Beatrix was the family's summer holidays in the Scottish Highlands and in the Lake District.
I think one of my pleasantest memories of Esthwaite is sitting on Oatmeal Crag on a Sunday afternoon, and all the little tiny fungus people singing and bobbing and dancing in the grass and under the leaves all down below, and I sitting up above and knowing something about them. I cannot tell what possessed me with the fancy that they laugh and clap their hands.
And have the paintings of the fungi ever been exhibited?
Yes, they were exhibited at the Natural History Museum maybe 20 years ago. And they were used as illustrations to a book about fungi published many years ago. And her watercolours were used as illustrations, which shows how good they were.
Miss Potter wished to earn a degree in mycology. In her late 20s, she developed a theory of spore germination that demonstrated that algae and fungus were of the same family.
And she prepared a paper on fungus and submitted it to the Linnaean Society in London. And her paper was accepted but she was not able to go and read it because she was a woman.
Miss Potter set aside her aspirational fungus expertise and turned to her storybooks. Her illustrious career as a children's author began with a letter that she wrote at the age of 27 to a five-year-old boy.
She wrote a letter to the son of her governess, Noel Moore, who was ill in bed and needed something to amuse him. And she wrote him a letter saying, "I have no news to tell you, so let me tell you a story." And then she began, "Once Upon a Time."
Right.
And the letter had pictures in it, black and white pictures. And the whole story, it's a four-page letter, is the basis almost, in many parts of it, word for word, as the book is today, The Tale of Peter Rabbit.
The letter contained one of the first versions of The Tale of Peter Rabbit, and thus heralded the mischievous rabbit's debut on the world stage. After being rejected by six publishers, in 1901, Beatrix Potter paid to have The Tale of Peter Rabbit published privately. An initial edition of 250 copies was printed and sold very well. In fact, even the brains behind Sherlock Holmes, Sir Conan Doyle, bought his children a copy. A year later, Beatrix attracted the publisher Frederick Warne & Co., and a colour edition was produced. The book soon made its way to the United States.
The librarians in America adored her books and came over and met her and so on. And she said how much she valued their opinion of her books. Beatrix Potter's books are the perfect example of how to put a book together for children. She designed them so that you have to turn the page to see what's going to happen. And she balanced the text. She literally designed the book. She saw where the text would go, and then the picture would balance the text visually. She said she made them small for little hands to hold, which is a nice thought.
Well, see, writes about animals, and I'm really interested in animals. She writes about, like, squirrels, dogs, rabbits, those type of animals, including birds. My favorite book is The Tales of Peter Rabbit.
Miss Potter also became one of the first children's book authors to offer products related to her stories.
She noticed that in the shops there were dolls made of cotton and so on, but they were of characters, for instance, on cereal packets. And so she thought, well, why don't I try with a Peter Rabbit? And she made a Peter Rabbit herself. Sewed it, made it, put it together, and she registered the copyright herself. So she patented it, and it was reproduced by a number of firms and sold in shops. It's remarkable, isn't it, that here we are over 100 years later, still loving, reading, buying, everything to do with her books.
Well into her 30s, Beatrix Potter continued to adopt animals and provided them with loving homes. Their unique personalities gave her inspiration, including her adorable hedgehog, which is the namesake of the story, The Tale of Mrs. Tiggywinkle.
There was a nice, hot, singy smell, and at the table, with an iron in her hand, stood a very stout, short person staring anxiously at Lucy. Her print gown was tucked up, and she was wearing a large apron over her striped petticoat. Her little black nose went sniffle, sniffle, snuffle, and her eyes went twinkle, twinkle. And under her cap, where Lucy had yellow curls, that little person had prickles.
After closely working together for a couple of years, Norman Warne, the youngest of the Warne publishing brothers, proposed to Beatrice. The betrothal lasted only a few months before Norman sadly succumbed to leukemia. To overcome her grief, Beatrix moved to the Lake District and bought Hilltop Farm in the quiet village of Sawrey. Inspired by the magnificence of her humble country living, Hilltop became the backdrop for many of her tales. Soon after, Beatrix Potter turned her attention to a second career as a conservationist.
She became a very rich woman. From the royalties from her books, from the money from the merchandise. Her father left her a lot of money when he died. He was a rich man. And she spent her money rescuing land, really. Every time she heard the proposal to build on land, that it was for sale for development, she couldn't bear the thought of houses being all over the place. So she bought the land.
To preserve it, basically.
To preserve it. And that's really why we have the Lake District today, why it is so beautiful, why it is so free of big towns, houses, even villages. I mean, it's remarkably open and free. Because when she died, she left everything to the National Trust.
At the age of 47, Beatrix Potter married Mr. William Healis, a country solicitor whom she had met whilst purchasing Castle Farm nearby Hilltop. She always kept rabbits on her land, so as not to disappoint visiting children, explaining that the animals were the descendants of Peter Rabbit. On December the 22nd, 1943, at the age of 77, Beatrix Potter passed away. She willed 14 farms and 4,000 acres of land to the National Trust. It is one of the largest British legacies ever made.
The Beatrix Potter Society was formed just 30 years ago. The society was formed to research and preserve and publish, make available Beatrix Potter's works. I did a book of her letters to children, as well as the biography I did of her, and I also selected 400 of her letters from the big collection in an effort to show the progress of her life.
Beatrix Potter's legacy is not limited to her wonderful children's books, but extends to the vast natural lands and animals that she helped to preserve and protect.
What heaven can be more real than to retain the spirit world of childhood, tempered and balanced by knowledge and common sense, to fear no longer the terror that flieth by night, yet to feel truly and understand a little, a very little, of the story of life.
For more information on Beatrix Potter and the Beatrix Potter Society, please visit www.beatrixpottersociety.org.uk. Inspired viewers, thank you for joining us today for Models of Success. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living, coming up next after Noteworthy News. May heaven's diverse creations bless your days with newfound joys and wonders.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/MOS.